In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, 2 van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible 2-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast.
Hey, what's happening out there, Buck 50 runners? Dave Huggins here, race director, in the studio today with William Presson.
Hello, hello.
And we have a guest today, a good guest.
Very good guest.
Anybody want to guess who the guest is?
He's got a good name.
Lots of L's. And a W.
And an A.
Couple Z's. Lots of Z's, too. Will Frizzell's in the house. Will Frizzell is a longtime Buck 50 runner. Buck 50 OG. And so we want to talk to Will specifically about being runner number two. Runner two has been in the past the most difficult running position. As we move back to OUC, it makes it again the most difficult running position.
We got a real champ here, though, if it's the toughest one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said he's also been runner six, too.
Yeah.
Which is no sweetheart.
Yeah.
Leg 26, very underrated.
The original leg 26, which I would love to bring back into the fold. But
we do have some changes coming on, but it's I'll keep that in mind. Because we are trying to do a workaround for the new leg 27 this year. Mm-hmm. We can't tell you exactly what it is because we have a road situation that we need permission to be on it. So until we get that permission, we can't really release 27, 28, 29, and 30. Definitely 27. But if we went back to the old leg 26... Mm-hmm. That would alleviate a little bit of the challenge that we're thinking about.
That would alleviate challenge? The old 26 would alleviate challenge?
Well, I'll just talk about specifically. So what we're trying to do is we want to use Cooks Hill Road. Mm-hmm. So leg 26, as it currently is, goes to B&B Roofing.
Right.
And we've had that running up South Bridge Street. Mm-hmm. But I don't love that run up South Bridge Street.
Right.
So I want to get those runners back in town a different way. Mm-hmm. And even though Cooks Hill Road is closed, I think we can run on it.
Yeah.
But because it's closed, we need permission to do so. And we've been Mr. Race Course Supervisor Extraordinaire, Greg Manson's been working on that for a while, but we just don't have the answer yet. But as we're sitting here talking, if we went back to the old leg 26, we could do it. I just probably have to rework 27 a little bit to make it long enough because it was only 3.2 miles.
Mm-hmm. You know, or we could pull out my favorite trick out of the playbook. I was just talking about it at work today. You know, we could always just use, you know, a truck with some lights on it and vests. You know, you can do anything you want on the roads if you have
We have learned over the years as we continue to mark roads and work on things that if you have a light on your truck and a safety vest, you look like you are somebody.
You pretty much own the world at that point.
So that, I mean, what a great show we're having on. We're solving problems that weren't even problems we were going to try to solve. But
we don't say we run this town for nothing.
So, okay, let's talk about leg number two as it was in 2018, 2019, which you ran.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
So instead of starting at that old parking lot, we're going to utilize the senior citizen center.
Okay.
So pretty much same ballpark.
Same, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to go from there and then start going through Waynewood.
Right.
Or Sunrush.
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 Yeah,
Sunrush. Yeah. Sunrush. So talk to us going from the checkpoint, how this beautiful, long, long, long leg happens.
Well, so basically you take off from the parking lot and you meander through a bit of Sunrush, and then you climb up the back hill of Brewer Heights, and then you loop.
Rather steep part. Would
yeah,
you agree?
It's a fairly steep hill. Yeah. And then once you get to the top of the hill, you'll loop around onto Fruit Hill Drive up in Brewer Heights, and then you will come to the entrance of a little trail, a long easement that goes down through the woods to the very bottom of Yaples Orchard Drive.
Yep, there's a telephone pole and a fire hydrant right there.
Yes. And just a note, because I do live in Brewer Heights, and I do tend to go down that easement quite a lot, just, you know, just in my day-to-day life, walking my dog and running and whatnot. There are a lot of trees down across that easement right now, and they would create a significant impediment going back
to
that
place. We'll take care of those
before
race day.
That's fine. Just fair warning. You
that's
know,
interesting, because I've been through there probably, it must have been since the storms came through,
yes,
right?
That's when it was. It was about the end of September when those nasty storms came through. But I was just down there Sunday walking my dog. And there's been no cleanup. In fact, there are more trees down. So just, this, you know, being this far out.
it's the trail run of the portion you just didn't expect.
Yeah.
We don't charge extra for the
trees. No, not at all.
Or hurdles.
Yeah.
They're like hurdles.
Yeah. So once you get to the bottom of that easement at the bottom of Yaples, then, of course, you ascend Yaples. And you...
Let's stop right there, though.
Sure.
When you're coming down that path and you finally get back to pavement, runners... if you listen to nothing else that we talk about on this show, do not go straight down Allen Avenue.
Right, yes.
You're going to want to turn left and go up the hill. You need to turn left to go up the hill.
Yes.
The road, the path kind of pushes you down the hill.
Yes, and points I can see you toward Allen. Yeah. So,
But you're almost doing like a U-turn.
Essentially, yeah.
It's like a 300-degree turn.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, so then you obviously ascend Yaples, which is, you know, two hills in quick succession, and the upper hill is a steep climb as well. And you get up there, and you've got another good, I'd say, you know, mile and change, if not more than that, of asphalt in Yaples Orchard before you get back to the dirt trail around Lyric Lane.
Yep.
And then you will go down Lyric Lane and connect to the bike path right over there by the Marathon Station on Veterans Parkway.
Yep.
And then you will go out onto Veterans Parkway, which ideally, I mean, you're on a decline at that point in time. So once you get out there, depending on whether the wind is at your back or not, you're kind of in a good spot. And then the bike path will take you all the way out along Anderson Station Road until you get out to checkpoint number 2 out there at the Hopewell Mounds.
So, I think that thing is 9 miles.
It was 9.2.
9.2.
Yeah.
It's definitely 9.2.
And it feels like every bit of it and then some.
I will say, so this leg has a nickname of Natalie's Easy Day. So do you know Natalie Bird?
I do not, actually.
So I actually just... saw Matt and Natalie over the weekend. We did some volunteer work at the Chillicothe Field for the Cavalier Club. But when we were first designing the Buck 50 course, the leg two that is going to be back in action for 2025 was this 9.2 miles. And my concern was, is that too far?
Right.
So we had a meeting one weekend morning. Matt and Natalie were both there. And I met Matt and Natalie by running in the Bourbon Chase with them back in 2012. Natalie's a strong runner. Matt's a strong runner. But as we were talking, I said, do you guys think that 9.2 miles is too far for a leg in the race? And Natalie's like, no, I don't think that's bad at all. Mm-hmm. And Matt's response was, says the Boston Marathoner.
Right, right.
So we decide, he goes, that's like your easy day when you're out running. So that's how we gave it the nickname of Natalie's easy day. But right. That leg is far from easy. Far from easy.
Yes.
So now you're on break. So what do you do? You, when you're in the race and you have downtime, what does your downtime look like, Will?
You know, I'm typically just, you know, chilling in the van with my teammates, snacking.
Snacks. Chris Scott used to like to talk about snacks a lot. What's your snack of choice?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. Well, there's several. I enjoy Goldfish. I enjoy Mingy beef jerky. There's any number of assorted things that I'll pick up. Combos, just anything that
I always feel like those pizza combos. Yeah. I feel like that's like a nutritious meal.
Mm-hmm. You were the one that told me,
Cliff,
it's basically a meal in a bag.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Cliff bars are pretty clutch as well. I usually have several of those in the bag. So, but oh yeah, I'm snacking.
Do you eat meals during the race?
I tend not to.
Well, just snack it.
Just yeah, snacking. I tend to eat pretty lightly throughout the race, and then once my three legs are over, then I'll kind of go to town on something. But yeah, so
yeah, you really, you know, I was just thinking we'll get to it later in the race, but you start down there at the gravel pit for leg 22 at really one of the better checkpoints. That's a tough one to start at when you're...
It is. Well, and that's the
problem.
You're
hungry. You got to pass up on the biscuits and gravy.
Yes, yes.
You got to pass up on the donuts.
Yes, and you know, if you're lucky, your teammates will grab you some to be waiting for you when you're done with leg 22. So,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Those are good teammates.
They are good teammates, you know. And, you know, as someone who has done... Van 2 as well, and you know, run the sixes on two different years. I do miss the checkpoint in Tar Hollow. That has to be said. I mean, the breakfast that they make, that is just second to none. So, you know, having to miss that all the years that I have, just it does break my heart a little bit. So.
Everyone, when they get there, they're just blown away.
Oh, it's amazing. I miss the music, and I miss like the whole sense of camaraderie. Yeah, you do miss out on something by not being able to be a part of that when you're in Van 1. So, yeah, I do. That I'm getting a little sentimental right now.
It's like its own event up there though. Like they have like 30-40 people work their checkpoint. They've got kids running in with the runners. They got luminaries in the I mean at this point in the race, it's like 1:30 in the morning when people are getting there. There is no ambient light going on out there. It is
none.
Dark, dark, dark.
Yes, absolutely. From the bonfire is the only light. Yeah, that you
got
see,
a bonfire, so, and yeah. we got a light plant.
And from an organizational standpoint, it's very impressive to consider. We wrangle all these runners and volunteers, but yet they have a subset of volunteers that they're arranging at 1 a.m., which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they're there from 1 till probably 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
We are running off at the mouth, hence the name of the show. So let's head to leg 12. You've now got your leg 2 is done.
Yep.
We're going to run leg 12. It's had a few variances. Mm-hmm. But essentially, you're leaving Zane Trace High School.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, you leave Zane Trace, and you will head straight down Marietta Road for, oh gosh, probably the better part of 2 miles before you enter... Great Seal.
It's exactly about 2 miles.
It? Yep, yep. And that's typically a nice little, just cool stretch. And it is dark. It's pitch black, and there's very few cars out, and it's the middle of the night. So, but the years that I've run it, for the most part, it's been a nice, just very breezy, cool, just running. It's pretty pleasant. And then you get to Great Seal, and you get to climb a little bit, and you get to run through a lot of mud usually, because there tends to have been some rain leading up to the race. So, but yeah, you'll kind of meander through about another mile and change of the trail there in Great Seal before you come down to the Ireland Shelter House and the checkpoint. So.
Yep, it's really, you know, as runner two is set up. It's really kind of nice to have a nice short, you know, 3.8 miles in the middle.
Yes.
Because you start out with 9.
Yes.
9.2.
Yeah.
3.8. And then Saturday morning, we're going to head to another pretty challenging trail run.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, it is a nice, I wouldn't call it a breather because, I mean, they're, you know, once you get into the park, I mean, yeah, that's definitely more challenging than the 2 miles leading up to it. But, oh, yeah, in general, it's a nice little comparatively easy run to kind of, you know, rest a little bit in between 2 and 22.
So. Do you sleep during the race?
I will take naps, you know, and I will, you know, if there's something going on, my teammates will wake me up. I mean, you know, for the most part, I'm alert, but oh yeah, I'll allow myself to doze off.
Do you van sleep or you go somewhere?
Between our legs, you mean? So yeah, like, when we are, our other van is out, yeah, we go home. Yeah, we go home and, I'll go home and I'll sleep for probably about an hour and a half and then get back up and go meet my teammates and go to the checkpoint. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Will's a local guy if you haven't figured that out yet. So now Saturday morning, this to me is like part of why the Buck 50 is such an extraordinary event is it's 2 days and you're living both parts of that.
Yeah.
So you ran two legs. You're tired, you've eaten snacks, mm-hmm. you've hydrated, so you're feeling good.
Yeah.
You meet your teammates down there at Southeastern High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to start leg 22 from the gravel pit.
Yep.
Down there on Higbee Road.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about that.
Well, the food is very tempting. Obviously, the biscuits and gravy that they have right there. So it's, your willpower is tested for sure.
Huntington High School does a great job there.
Yes, they do. But you know, you'll take off and you will, have about, what is it? Is that quite a mile before you get? No, it's not a mile before you get to the hill.
Let me go back here and look. Yeah. And why I'm looking to clarify this number, yeah. I got to talk about the Chad Abner experience. Mm. Do you know what the Chad Abner experience is?
I do not. Enlighten me.
So in the very first year of the Buck 50, when we were out marking roads, I was concerned about runners leaving checkpoint 21. They take a right out of the checkpoint. They come to that T and they hang a left
mm-hmm.
and they go probably 50 yards mm-hmm. and they got to make a right to get on the trail system.
Right.
And so I took with orange spray paint and I painted like 5 arrows that kind of like held your hand to go across the road to get up on that trail system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chad Abner is awesome. And this is how awesome Chad is. So he came into the race with 3 different costumes. He wore a suit on leg one. Oh, I'm sorry, leg two. He wore, like, I think a full set of pajamas on leg 12.
Correct.
And then on leg 22, he had these red, white, and blue, like, Speedos with a red, white, and blue vest and this humongous, like, punk rock wig that was red, white, and blue on his head to wear for leg 22. So he says his hair got in the way and he missed a turn.
Mm.
So he ran another, like, mile or two into Pike County, and I would love to have seen like the dude in the pickup truck rolling by and been like, did you see that, Martha? That dude was rocking.
That, and you know what's even funnier is that right there is where I get you and I both get the most interactions from people that drive by. They're the greatest people, but they're gonna talk to you, and if you were wearing something like that, it's definitely gonna catch your attention.
Yeah, that was the year we were down there painting arrows, and we ran into the guy, and he asked what kind of race we were doing.
Yeah, he says, I like races, but I like them ones with the engines.
Hang on a minute. So did you say he ran in a suit in leg two?
Yes.
He ran 9 miles in a suit.
9 miles in a suit.
That's, I can't even wrap my brain around that.
Yep.
That's insane.
That's like, the Chad.
Wow. Yeah.
That's, I hate to be the dry cleaner on that one. That's brutal.
Dear Lord.
That's adding a little extra flavor to your Buck 50 experience. So most importantly, run or two. Once you leave the checkpoint, once you hit the T at Higbee Road, you're going to take a left, and then it's like 50 yards.
Yeah.
50 yards, and you're going to turn right and look, start following the light blue blazes on the Buckeye Trail.
Up the very steep ascent to the top of that hill. But it's very rewarding when you get there, because as you finally get to the top and you start running back in that direction, you just look out. And if you're lucky enough, you know, when, you know, when you start that leg, it's really early morning, the sun's barely up, and you look out, and it's just a gorgeous view out over the whole valley out that way back toward the checkpoint. So that's a very rewarding thing if you're lucky enough to experience it. And then, yeah, you essentially are wandering through the woods for, what, about another 6 miles, seven, something like
that? The total distance is 6.2 miles.
Yeah.
I've also found that to be a mysterious number.
Yeah, the very first year that I ever ran it, I think the information I got was that it was like five or something, and I'm like, there's no way it's only five. There's no way. So yeah, six point, that sounds about right.
We're back at that 6.2 number.
That sounds about right.
What a coincidence. Runner 2 has a 9.2 and a 6.2. But it is on the Buckeye Trail. It is, in my opinion, one of the prettiest runs in the whole race.
Agreed. And granted, like, you know, I've only done the sixes and the twos, but yes, it's a gorgeous run. Like I was just saying earlier, that view over the valley when you finally get up there, it is something. It really is. So yeah, it's a gorgeous run. It really is.
I mean, if you are a trail runner, it is. this is it.
Yeah,
this is the sweet bippy. This is the one that, like, you're going to enjoy. Yeah. Now, we will say that there are 823 feet of elevation gain.
Mm-hmm. And you feel it.
So there's a little more value you get than just going up that first hill as it kind of horseshoes around.
But. Oh, without a doubt. And yeah, you're going to hit some switchbacks, and you're going to do some descents and some ascents, and you're going to run into mud. There's no way around that, I don't think. But, you know, it's just a very rewarding stretch of forest and trail to go through. Yeah. And to wrap up your portion of the race. And again, you know, if you're lucky enough to do it early in the day on Saturday, that's a bonus.
When you're crossing over that gravel road, it's 2.5 miles in. And I'll tell you that we work hard to mark it very well. Mm-hmm. But that Buckeye Trail kind of makes a quick horseshoe back to the left. Mm-hmm. So you will cross over the gravel road.
Yeah.
You'll go about 20 feet.
Yeah.
And then the trail breaks hard back to the left.
Yeah.
I think we've got pretty good at marking that over the years.
Yeah. I've at no point, you know, in the several years that I've done it, I've always, especially this last year, it was beyond well marked. I mean, as well as I've ever seen it. But, you know, even in years past, there's never a point where I worried about being lost on that.
You
on
like
that
the Plowright stakes we used last year? Those pink tubes?
Yes. Yes. They were effective.
We added those in last year. For those of you who are, it's got to be one of the biggest concerns that new people have when they run the Buck 50.
Without a doubt.
Is, will they get lost and all this and that. And it's pretty minimal, the lost runners we get. I can't use the word never.
Right.
But we really work hard to mark the course. And if you pay any attention at all to the directions before you run the race, you'll be alerted to some of these things that we call out, just like specifically.
You will.
And at approximately 2.5 miles, you will cross over a gravel road. The trail is a little down and a hard left just as you cross over the gravel road.
And you know what? This is a great time for our weekly reminder. Read the guidebook and go practice your runs.
Absolutely. Anything I have always preached the value of, especially if you've never done it before, to newbies or, you know, just, I mean, if you're doing new legs, go out and run your legs at least once. That way you know where you're going, and, you know, you have a sense of what to expect. So
one thing that we started last year, Greg did a great job of this. We started doing GoPro videos of all the legs on the course,
which I think is a great idea.
So you can find every buck 50 leg. Some of these new ones are not on there yet. Leg 22, I'm pretty sure, is not on there. So we'll work to get that back on before race day. Trails were a little more challenging to us as we put those in. But you definitely should see a leg 22 video on our YouTube channel in the future.
That's awesome.
So what's it feel like when you finish all three legs of the buck 50?
The two specifically, or just all three?
Yeah,
legs
when ever? You're finishing it as a two.
It's relieving. You really feel, because it is 22 is a long jaunt through the woods. It really is. I enjoy it. It's awesome. Like I said, especially typically for the time of day that I'm usually there. But it is long. So there's relief there. And there's a great sense of accomplishment that, you've done your part for the team. But there's also a little bit of disappointment, like, oh, I'm done, you know? So it, you kind of feel that combination of, emotions all at once, I would say. So, I can say honestly that, every year when I finish my last leg, I'm always looking forward to my first leg next year.
So, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. When you're on leg 22, do you drink water out of the creek?
No.
Tim Gardner tells me that's a rite of passage. Every time he goes through there, he drinks water out of that creek.
That's just a rite of passage for Tim, or is that like a...
Just for Tim, because we're not going to recommend that you drink
water. Well, no, I just... If there's some like unofficial thing that as a leg 22 runner I need to partake in, I'm willing to do my part. But
I'm sure that water is clear, cold, and tasty, but I'm not comfortable that it's not got some bacteria.
Well, I'll pick Tim's brain next time I see him, and we can have some further interaction about that.
But. I was out there, a couple years ago, we had an ice storm come through, and I was out cutting the trail open with some chainsaws, mm-hmm. and Tim, as we're cruising by there, I turned back around, and there he is on his hands and knees drinking water out of that creek. I got to do it every time. Every time I'm here, I got to drink water out of this thing.
Hey, can't argue with tradition, I guess.
All right, so you've been a buck 50 runner every year of the race.
Yes.
This will be year 9. Mm-hmm. You've ran on multiple groups of different teams, right?
I've been on two different teams. So I ran with a team that was known as Better Last Than Never through 2022. And then for 23 and 24, I've been a member of the Gym Class Heroes.
So, nice, mm-hmm. nice.
Yep.
Then in 2020, you had a new opportunity mm-hmm. come your way.
I did.
And we invited Mr. Will Frizzell to become a lifetime member of the Buck 50 board. So tell us about what you've learned on the board, what that experience has been like.
Well, it's been educational, to say the least. The year I joined was the infamous, it was the year the pandemic began. And so it was the year of the infamous mid-July buck 50. So
the heater.
Yeah. So I
forget the curveball, Ricky. Give him the heater. Yeah. That was our race in 2020.
Yeah. So when I first came on the board was when we were debating about whether to even have the event that year. We pushed through and did it. And, I think that, there were obviously massive concerns about, is anybody going to get sick from this? Is there going to be an outbreak? I think the bigger concern I had, just given the, ungodly heat in that race, was that someone was going to come down with heat stroke, which, thank the Lord, none of that happened. So, we pulled it off, but, it was an interesting time to join the board, to say the least. So, in the ensuing years since then, I think that if there's been anything that I've learned, being on the board, it is, just the scope and the depth of the preparation that goes into pulling this event off every single year, And, it was only a 3-year-old event by the time I joined. And so obviously it's been a learning curve, throughout that entire time for everybody. But, I think, you can't really appreciate what goes into, just in terms of sponsorships, in terms of recruiting volunteers, in terms of, you know, all of the components that go into working with the schools and, you know, DFCA and everything. You know, there's, I think that, you know, it's just a better appreciation of just the depth of the event and what all goes into it, and the, just, you know, the mission of you know, what the event is there for, you know, which is to help kids, you know, stay off drugs. So.
I actually had this conversation today with a community member, and so I think it was just something we got to constantly talk about, because they were aware of the Buck 50,
right,
but they weren't aware of why the Buck 50 really existed. Right. So the Buck 50 was founded to support 8 chapters of the Drug-Free Clubs of America program here in Ross County. And so that work began in the fall of 2015, had our first race in April of 2017, and as we march towards April of 2025, you know, we've now invested $885,000 into those kids. That'll be close to another 100,000+ by the time we get to the spring of 2025. And it's really just pretty remarkable. Like, as we sit here and just kind of talk about, you know, you running in the first race and now we're getting ready to take on year number 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting closer to that $1 million mark. And I know you didn't say it, but like, it's all on our mind. And when you hit that number, it's hard to, even though there's a dollar amount attached to it, it's hard to really quantify the impact that that does make, not only on our kids, but the community as a whole.
It's infinite at this point. Like, I know so many stories about different things. The story I shared with them today was the rally that we just had in April or in October, last Friday in October. We always have that downtown. And one of the best speeches I've heard was from a young lady who spoke about her father who had passed away from an overdose. And she just kind of posed the question of, would her father still be alive if a program like Drug-Free Clubs of America had been around when he was in high school? Sure. And it was kind of like half a kick in the gut, like, ooh, man, that's a tough one to think about. But then at the same time, you also had this like sense of pride that, you know, the Buck 50 is able to provide this for this young lady so she can think positively about her future. And she feels strong about being a part of a group of kids, which, it, you know, now we're supporting 15 different high schools in Ross, Pike, Jackson, and Benton counties. So,
yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
It is. And, you know, I'm in my line of work, and, you know, in places I've worked previously, you know, I was a children's services caseworker and investigator for almost 5 years. And so, you know, I've seen, you know, just firsthand, the way that substance abuse has ravaged so many families, in our region. And, you know, so the mission of what we do with this event, and, you know, just on the board, it does hit home for me in a very big way. So, you know, it is a special thing. It really is.
Well, we certainly appreciate having somebody like yourself, who has such experience on really both sides of our cause and efforts. So thanks to you, Will, for being a part. Any good stories from your traveling Buck 50 days?
Oh my gosh, any good Buck 50 stories? Oh, I'm sure there are many. Well, they're probably best left unsaid. I don't want to throw anybody under the
bus. You just got to do it to experience it, right?
No, I do.
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I will say. You know, I've been lucky enough, you know, to run on 2 very great teams with very great people. And, you know, the event itself, it is exhausting and it is trying, but you have a ball. You have a ball every single year, you know. And there's a reason that people come back and stay up all night, and you know, weather literally torrential downpours like we did 2 years ago, and other, and the elements and everything else that we deal with. So you know, there's like I said, it's the every single event every year has just it's been a wonderful time, and you know, that's there's a reason people keep coming back and doing it.
So I do have a question for you, and I asked this last time, and it kind of ties into what you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. You have a luxury that Dave and I also have, and that's being local. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're organizing this.
Yep.
You get to go home in between your runs. Yep. Not everybody gets to do that. There's some that they do have.
Sure.
They're staying in local hotels, motels, sure. whatever. What is something that you would recommend to somebody to make sure they bring that you've maybe forgotten about in the past? Because me... Even as just an organizer of this, I go through a checklist mm-hmm. on Wednesday night, mm-hmm. Thursday morning, and then Friday morning again. And then I got to do it again Saturday, too, mm-hmm. of there's going to be something, and I want to make sure I have all this. And that's from an organizer mm-hmm. Perspective. What do you see from a runner's perspective?
You're talking about to bring, like, when you're going to be sleeping?
Yeah, or
like,
bring with you, whether you're in the van or whether, I don't want to focus on food or anything.
Right.
Little creature comforts that sure. you may not necessarily think of.
Sure. I do have the luxury of going home. So, you know, but if I was in a position where I didn't have that, I would say, just have, you know, fresh shorts and, you know, fresh outfits for each of your legs. I think that's a good idea. You don't want to be running in, mm-hmm. you know, in nasty, you know, anything that's
sweaty. Be sure you have enough socks.
And snacks, I mean, you said, you know, I think snacks are critical. Be sure that you're hydrated. Be sure that you got enough water. Blankets. I think blankets, hoodies, because, you know, the odds are it's going to get chilly.
It does usually get pretty cold overnight.
Yeah, it does. And so I would encourage, I think it's a good idea to always have comfortable things to lounge around in when you're not running, I think is critical. Like I said, blankets, pillows, maybe if you want to just kind of chill in the car and take a nap. I think that those are probably the main essentials. But
anything else, men?
Not that I can think of tonight.
I have one more question. So you talk, it's a great compliment when you say that when you finish leg 22 you're looking forward to mm-hmm. the very next year starting, so we certainly appreciate that. But if you're running in another running event, what's your favorite distance or type of event to run in?
Well, you know, it may be surprising, but you know, my racing experience outside of the Buck 50 is limited to a lot of 5Ks, and I've done a couple of half marathons. I like halves. You know, they're the ones that I've only done two, like I said, but I like that distance. There's nothing, I don't think I have a real preference per se, but, you know, if you were going to ask me about, like, you know, what do I prefer in terms of like Buck 50 legs? Honestly, when you finish one of the really challenging ones, you know, when you finish leg two, or when you finish leg 26, you know, when you really feel like you just slayed a dragon, you know, that, the little buck. The little buck was, that's a great.
That 10-miler was pretty challenging.
Yes, it was. And that's a great route. And you feel when you're done like you've really, you know, climbed a mountain metaphorically and, you know,
and realistically. So, you know, I don't have a favorite per se, but I like it when I feel like I've really pushed myself to my limits when I get done. So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting that you said half marathon. That was Keenan Montgomery's kind of mm-hmm. favorite spot, too.
I was just talking with Keenan after he got back from finishing New York, and I was telling him, because he talked about how, you know, how New York City really gets up for that marathon. And, you know, the first half I ever ran was the Flying Pig down in Cincinnati. And I was just telling him.
That was the first half I ran was the Flying Pig.
And Cincinnati gets up for that race big time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was encouraging him if he ever had the chance to go down there and do that. Because, yeah, it's a ball. The one that I did was 2016. So it was the year before the first Buck 50. So
I'm noticing a trend here about half marathon seems to be a recurring theme.
It's possible that the Buck 50 might put on a half marathon.
Well, you know, I would not be opposed to that.
It might become a replacement for the little buck that we have in November. And nothing we could ever say would be bad about the little buck. We just need to shift some gears based on timing and that. But you're one of the first people to hear this, Mr. Will Frizzell. But we're real close to making an announcement about a half marathon from Buck 50 world.
I'm intrigued. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear more.
Our 30 listeners out there, wherever you are, you're hearing it first.
That's right. I really want to talk more about, but we need to find a date.
Got some logistics to
work. We have the course set. Like, we have a great, 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 great course. I'm pumped about the course.
It's a nice course, and that's coming from a non-runner too.
Yeah.
Does it involve hills?
You know it does. It's good. The Buck 50. Well, good. Hills. We don't do flat.
That's my main complaint with halves that are completely flat. Yeah, I think you got to incorporate some hills if you can.
I could at least do a half marathon if it was downhill the whole way.
Yeah.
At least if I couldn't run, you could roll me the rest of the way.
The current course design has 1,100 feet of elevation gain.
All right.
On 13 miles. So that's not too bad.
No.
And even what I would say, the major climb that's in it is gradual.
Well, and, you know, I went out and did some, I went out and ran with the Incognito crew a time or two over the summer, and we did essentially a half marathon that incorporated some of the hills around town. And yeah, I mean, if I always thought to myself, you know, any half around here really should try to incorporate something, whether it's Grandview, whether it is climbing Carlisle, whether it's University, you know, Yaples, whatever. But yeah, I'm someone who, you know, I will say this, you know, you ask about my preferences, totally flat courses bore me usually. So yeah.
Right on, yeah. Right on. No wonder you're such a Buck 50 OG. We don't do flat around here.
Well, yeah, I learned that the hard way, not prepping for 26 the first year.
Geographically, it's just kind of impossible.
I mean, you take the topography that you have and you mold it the best you can into an event.
Yeah, you just run with it, literally.
Just run with it. Well, thanks, Will, for being here.
Thank you guys for having me. This was a joy.
Thanks, William. Always a pleasure getting together and chatting up some all things Buck 50.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!